This morning we have a guest speaker. No, he's not a guest. He's family now. He's the unknown comic, and most of you probably don't know who that is. but Mark's going to bring us the message this morning, and so be praying for him as he comes and delivers the word.
Louise took my handkerchief. My neighbor used to say that his nose would run past me and he'd keep it licked off. First thing we'd do is look and see. Been thinking about this message quite a bit, and it's about the name of the Lord, that name. And the Bible says how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There were four beasts and still are in the throne room of God. The Bible says, I believe they had six wings and eyes front and back and all over. And they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, day and night, over and over. I thought about that, and I believe that every time they look at him, they see a new facet of him they have never seen. Because his ways cannot be searched. They're unsearchable. And his judgments also. The Bible tells us that in the book of Exodus, Israel had been in captivity. And they began to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron there to bring them out. Well, it took 10 judgments upon Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh finally let them go after the death angel came. And you know, it reminds me that now here is Israel in slavery one night, and the next day they walked out of Egypt with all the riches and all the wealth of Egypt, free people. And that tells me that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And it can come quick. God can bring it quick. So don't think that what your situation is, that God can't fix it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He can make a way where there seemeth to be no way. He is the one that goes by that name. And in the book of Philippians chapter 2, we'll read here in just a minute, that God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That name. Now, so many people today don't want to hear that name. I was told that here a while back, but I want to hear that name. And if people don't want to hear that name, that's just tough. I have to listen to all their names. They're going to listen to the one I got. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name is the one that brought them out of Egypt. That name is the one that the Bible says. Now you think about this. One day you're in slavery, the next day you're walking out free, and the Lord is leading you out with all the wealth of Egypt. The Bible says that there was not one people among them. Their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. He took them out into the wilderness. But not long after that, I want you to remember this. Even though the devil will let go for a short time, he's a backstabbing weasel, scallywag, whatever you want to call him. They hadn't gotten very far out to the Red Sea, and he thought he had them pinned. And you know what Moses said? Stand and see the salvation of the Lord, and the waters parted. I heard a doubter say one time, well, now the Red Sea, they meant to say the Reed Sea, and it's only 6 inches deep. And the preacher said, well, that's even a greater miracle. God drowned Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water. Folks, it happened just like he said. They walked across on dry land. Can you imagine the power and the authority of God? Now, I want to take you back to Abraham and Sarah. You remember when Abraham was in the tent there on the plain, and Sarah was there, and Abraham saw these three travelers coming, and he invited them to come and have dinner with him, and Sarah was fixing the dinner, and it was the Lord and two other companions, I believe the two angels, that went on to see Lot. And you know what happened? He told Sarah and Abraham, and Sarah was inside cooking, and he said, I'm going to give you a son, you and Sarah a son. Well, she began to laugh within herself, and God knew it. And you know what God said? He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Next time you're facing something that you can't make a way where there seemed to be no way, God can. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He said, nothing is impossible if we will just believe. If we'll just believe it, God can do it. There's nothing impossible to them that believe. Well, after he brought them out, the Bible says that not only that, but God was going to take care of them in the wilderness. He said he'd give them a cloud by day and a fire by night. The cloud was to keep the sun off of them. The fire was to keep them warm at night. And when they run out of water, guess what? He brought water out of a rock when Moses struck the rock. And guess what? Food, there was no need for food because manna rained down from above. But they began to whine and murmur and complain. And God said, okay, you want meat, I'll send you quail, and the quail come. And God killed a lot of them because of their murmuring and complaining. So the next time you want to have a whining session, be careful. But oh, don't it feel good to whine?
Amen.
Whee! There's a whiner right there. But here's the thing. What have we got to murmur and complain about after God's been so good to us? We're going to get to that name here in just a minute. But then, I read a story, a true story, that God sent hornets and stung the enemies of Israel. Now, men, you should not be praying for a few of them hornets to come by your mother-in-law's house. Don't do that. That's wrong. But here's the thing. No matter what you have need of, God will take care of it. From the Bible says that you were chosen in him from the foundation of the world. Now you think of what conversation took place back yonder between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit at the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I believe all that took place back there before it ever got started. Amen. It was finished before it ever started.
Amen.
I believe Jesus said, I'm your Lamb right here. And they all three agreed on it, and that's what happened. But how can anyone, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
He can foretell everything. Everything. Don, let's take this young man right here with the earphones on. Yeah, God designed you before the foundation of the world. You were in the mind of God. The manifestation had not taken place yet. But God made every, y'all know what a corpuscle is? It's got something to do with blood. But he designed every part of your DNA, everything you'd look like, what you'd be like, when you would come to salvation. How can God choose you before the foundation of the world? Because he knew what choice you'd make when the gospel was presented to you. God can know the end from the beginning, so therefore he can declare it that it is. Guess what? And he's the one, that name. Let's get to that name. That name is a name that has promised to give you eternal life, promised to take you to heaven, promised to watch over you while you were here, promised to be never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised to be there in the midnight hour. He promised that he would call you to salvation. You remember who? Because God hadn't called you, you'd never come. And what's he called? I know I got up and run many times out of church, and as far as I was concerned, God only had to call me once. But the mercy of God, the Bible says that his mercy is higher than the heavens. He'd rather show mercy than judgment. And that mercy came, and he waited and patiently waited upon me. And I got saved at the age of 39. Best thing ever happened to me at 39. But I had run from God for all those years. Once I knew he was after me, I run. But folks, you're going to find out that you can't run from God. But when you stop, he's right there waiting on you. His goodness and mercy, the Bible says, will follow you all the days of your life. And I do believe that angel of the Lord is encamped about us, watching over us, keeping us safe. And guess what? Not only is that angel there, but he said his other angels, they're ministering spirits, ministering to them that are to be the heirs of salvation. You and I have inherited salvation. We're heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, if you ask anything in my name, that will I do. So let's go back to the garden for just a minute. The Bible says that there was nothing created that was not created by him and for him. He's the creator of all things.
Yeah.
Just think now, all you have to do is speak a word and it's done. What a mighty God that is. And he's so good to us. I'm very patient with us because we fall a lot.
Yeah.
You may be young and stable, but you still fall.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that even though you fall, get up and take off again. That's not the end of it. A lot of people just stumble and fall, and people have preached to them, hey, that's it. It's over. God don't want nothing else to do with you. That's not true. Don't listen to that. God, he said, if you fall seven times, get up again. If you fall eight times, get up. No matter what it is, get up and go, because that is just the beginning. That's just part of the human race. And folks, we are in a race, but it's not against one another. It's to get this gospel out before the wrath of God comes. Because folks, it's coming. People are getting wicked. The Bible says that the wicked men, evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse than they are. And you can see it. Have you ever heard such goofy, well, I'll just say it, stupid people? They're supposed to be our leaders, and listen to them. The other day they said that, come out and said, these children that you have are not your children. Do you remember saying that? They belong to us, and we'll teach them the way we want to. Oh, no, you won't. I tell people, you know, I've never had a problem with my kids. They say, well, how do you do it? I say, I don't have any kids. But folks, they're your children. God's given you the responsibility to train the child up the way it should go, and so we will not depart from it. I'm a prime example of that. When I got old, I didn't depart from it. I run to it after running away from it. God's word is absolutely true, and if you'll put it to the test, you'll find out it's true.
Yeah. Amen.
Folks, we're going to heaven here before long. How can anybody be so sad? I see Christians not here. But I see Christians that are just so sad, broke, busted, disgusted, just about, woe is me. And folks, they're not reading the same book I'm reading, because we could go out of here at any time. The Bible says, the book of Daniel, he said in the last days that knowledge shall be increased. Men shall run to and fro. They are doing that now. And the knowledge that they have is, they say, doubling every 22 months, but it's not godly knowledge, or they wouldn't be talking the way they're talking. However, I do believe that there's godly knowledge being revealed. You remember he told Daniel to put it up to the last day. I believe there's things being revealed now that has not been revealed for a long, long time, or ever been revealed to us, to those that are looking for it. The folks, to the ungodly, that wisdom, they're using it, and guess what? No wonder in that valley of Megiddo that the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. God is going to come back at his second coming. He's not coming back to have mercy and grace. He's coming to judge and to make war, and we're going to come with him, and he is going to destroy those haters of his Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, all those that have stiff speech against the word of God. And folks, people don't want to hear that name of Jesus. How do I know? I was told that. But folks, I love to hear it. And I know you love to hear it. That's a name that's above every name. I told you I was going to read that, but I quoted it a while ago, so I ain't going to read it. But folks, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now you think about it. God's not limited on that. What can you think of that God can't do? Then go beyond that, and God can do even more than what you can think of. Our mind can only go so far.
Yeah.
Jesus said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They're high above your thoughts.
Right.
So whatever you've got going on, how about trusting the Lord? The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received it already, and you shall. Have you ever done that? I try to do it, but doubt always wants to creep in there. Why? Because you can't see it. You've got to believe that you got it before you ever get it. And Jesus said, if you'll do that, you can have it. Folks, we need to practice that some more. Because I've got questions about that, and maybe y'all do too. Because if I'd done that, if I said, okay, no, I can't say that. If I pray for something, I'm supposed to believe that I've already got it and I'm ready. That if I do that, then I shouldn't be praying for it again tomorrow, should I? I don't know. I just wonder about that. If I'm really, he said I could have it over here if I just believe it. I believe I've already received it. But I still pray for it again. Because I didn't believe it to start with, I don't think. Because I didn't get it. We need to practice that. Because that's the words of Jesus. He said that. The Bible says that blessed is the man whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Is your mind stayed upon the Lord? I know there's a lot of things vying for your attention. But folks, if your mind stayed upon the Lord, you will be blessed.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge sin. I was in a Pentecostal church and they didn't believe in eternal security. And I think I was the only one there that did. And I was making more noise than a mule in the tin barn. So I asked the pastor, I said, who's these people right here? And he said, blessed is them that the Lord will not charge sin. And he said, that's us. I said, won't you preach it then? They wouldn't do it. So I left. I felt it was the right thing to do. Left on good terms. I believe in that. Leave on good terms. And we're still friends today. The Bible says that we're not to eat the bread of idleness. A lot of people have.
Yeah.
They've just stopped and waiting on the Lord, them that are saved, some of them, and others. Folks, but guess what? Be busy. The Bible says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not.
Amen.
I saw on one of the police programs, they were talking to a fella, and he just passed out right there standing in front of them several times, and he was on drugs. And I believe that's the greatest weapon that the enemy, the devil, has. Is drugs. He's killing the children, killing people, taking their minds, taking their property, come to steal, kill, and destroy. And our responsibility is not letting him do it.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And Tina's been talking about the lamb a couple Sundays ago. And folks, you're going to see that lamb. Those people that hate that name of Jesus, they're going to meet him one day. That's what the scripture said. Every knee is going to bow before him. And everyone's going to confess that he is Lord, whether they want to or not. I think about Mr. Hitler with his knee bowed. I think that I do believe there's different degrees of punishment in hell. I believe he's going to be the hot potato down there. Because he's a very wicked person. Done a lot of damage, and he done it to God's people.
That's right.
And he's not going to take kindly to that.
Right. Amen.
Even so, let him cry. He had opportunity to do what was right, and he didn't do it. Amen. So folks, remember, when somebody comes up to you and tells you that they don't want to hear that name, remind them that they're going to hear it one day, whether they want to or not, if they're going to bow before that name. So that one that was there in eternity past, that come and gave his life a ransom for many, that tasted death for every man and woman and child, and laid his life down for you and I, and paid our sin debt in full. We are going to meet that one again, and we're going to thank him and praise him for it. But these other people, they're going to have to give their life to pay the sin debt that he paid for. It's just like this. If I come and I said, Don, I want to pay the mortgage of your house off. You say, oh, preacher, that's just wonderful. And I pay it off, and then he goes the next day and wants to pay it off too. That don't make sense, does it? Somebody going to have to pay the sin debt. Yes. What was it? Oh.
About share.
Somebody called from Parkersburg yesterday and said, it's a delivery company, and said, we have a chair here for you. We're going to deliver it Monday. Nah, I hung up. I thought Louise has ordered her a lift chair because she'd talked about it. And I told her, and she said, I didn't order a chair. So she called him back and I said, yeah, we're delivering it Monday. And she says, it paid for. And he said, yeah. And she said, bring it on.
Good. I might not see the good, but that
I confess, Louise, I ordered you a throne, and now you can rule and reign. We don't know what it is. We'll find out Monday. Juno, can you imagine Abraham and Sarah when Sarah laughed within herself and God knows the thoughts and the intents of her heart, and he said to her, is there anything too hard for the Lord to do?
Yeah.
Remember that the next time you're in a battle. Is there anything? And if you can believe God for it, he'll do it. That's what he said. He said, if you ask anything in my name, that's what I do. And folks all but wonder then, why am I living the way I'm living if that is true? And it is true, it's because I have not plugged into it and fully got the meaning of it and not walking in it. I'm letting doubt and unbelief creep in there somewhere. I don't know how, but I need to get to where I am fully persuaded and you're fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is more than able to do. God watches over his word to perform it. Because he lives by that word the same way we do. Because his word, he's spoken it. And folks, I do believe that we can walk in the power of God and the authority that God has given us. There's a difference between authority and power. But when we walk in that power, that anointing, I believe people, when they come to church, especially the unbelieving, they want to see a manifestation of the power of God. If they come in and they're sick and different things going on in their life, they want to be in the presence of the Lord anyway. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. The atmosphere should be there that when they walk in, the first thing they do is they want to repent and they want to be saved because they feel guilty for the life they've been living, same way you and I did, and they want to come. I don't know what happened different. I went to church for 18 years, and then I left for a while, and then when I come back, I felt the presence of the Lord before, but I was still able to run out the door and run home. But that last time, I couldn't. I don't know what was different. I don't know if it's the presence of the Lord there that stopped me, or it's my time to get saved, or the anointing. I don't know what it was. But I wanted it. I wanted to get saved. There was a little preacher, Ernest Angley, on TV. And that rascal told me everything I'd done one Sunday morning. Louise was at church, and I got up and walked outside because he got on me so bad. Well, I was under conviction anyway. And I had picked on him a lot. I said, you know, the man's got no neck on him. Somebody dropped a rock on his head and shoved it down his shoulders. Wonder God hadn't killed me for doing that. But anyway, I was sitting there in the chair and he began to preach and he began to tell me everything I was and everything I'd done and what I needed to do. And I knew he was exactly right. And I agreed with him, but it still felt uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. Conviction from the Lord will make you uncomfortable. Hell will make you uncomfortable too,
yeah,
if you don't get away from it. I did. I felt uncomfortable. Once I went to the altar that Sunday morning, and 11 other people behind me that morning, and the preacher afterwards, I'd never met him before, he said, boy, wasn't that a good message? I said, I wasn't listening to you. I was waiting for you to shut up. I needed some relief. I need to get that. Your preaching didn't relieve me. I knew what you were preaching was right. And I got up there and I cried like a big baby for probably a half hour. I think the Lord just wringing us all the bad stuff out of me. And the assistant pastor came up to me and he said, did you pray the sinner's prayer? I said, I don't know whether it did or not. Tell me what it is and I'll tell you whether it did or not. He told me what it was. I said, no, I ain't done that. I was safe before I left the seat back there. The Lord had a hold of me then. And folks, there's so much that takes place in that process and so quick. The Bible says that you're baptized by the Spirit of God into the family of God.
Yeah.
You're adopted into the family of God right there.
Yeah.
You have just as much right as anyone that was born in that family. You were born in it too and adopted in it.
Yeah.
But folks, it's a wonderful thing to be in the family of God. You've made peace with God. Then put a smile on your face and make you look like you slept the coat hanger in your mouth. And do that even when the rough stuff's going on. You can do that. You can put a smile on it. You imagine how the devil feels after he's done punched you and gouged you and done everything he possibly can, and you still get up in the morning with a smile on your face. You need to do that. You think about where you're going. The land far away. You're going to heaven one day.
Yeah.
You're going to have a brand new body, fashioned like his glorious body. The Bible says that that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are. I heard a fellow talk about one blood cell in the human body, and he said if you break it down, and if it was normal size, everything that's going on inside that one blood cell, it would take city blocks of warehouses to put it in if it was normal size. That's how complex it is. And God did that in 6 days. I'm going to tell you a little story. I heard this preacher years ago. He was talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. He said Eve was a very jealous person. Said every time Adam come home of the evening from working in the garden, she'd count his ribs. But you just think how God can just speak something into existence.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
and he loves us enough to give his life for us.
That's right.
Don't forget about that. He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy. And to have our minds stayed upon him.
Yeah.
The folks you're going to spend eternity with. First 1,000 years you're going to be down here on planet Earth. And Louise asked me the other day, where are we going from there? I don't know. Maybe the New Jerusalem. Maybe heaven, you go to outer space. I believe if you want to think of where you want to be, you're there. Because here's the thing. I'm going to mention the word, and y'all going to go there, but your body's going to stay here. Walmart. You're already there. But you didn't go nowhere. You went there in your mind. Once you get this brand new body, once you think, everything will go. Remember Jesus when he walked through the wall there, when he came to see Thomas, the doors and the windows are shut. I believe he walked right through the wall. Or he could go into a crowd and just disappear. Nobody'd ever see him because he wanted to. He had the power and authority to do that. The Bible says that you'll be equal to the angels once you get there. What a day that's going to be. Folks, we've struggled down here and we've fought. And God designed us to do that, but there's coming a day when you'll lay it all aside. I know we entered into his rest, but the battle's still raging. I mean, we lived in a country, most of us, looking around at you, you grew up in a country where you didn't have to lock your doors, and your neighbors were true, and the handshake was good. And now, folks, it's went to where they're telling your children that they can change them from a rooster to a hen, and you don't get to know anything about it. And then I see on TV where a lot of them are troubled in their mind after that happened. They're starting to do some mass shootings now.
Yes.
Well, folks, what they're saying is, God, you messed up and we're going to correct it.
Yeah, that's right.
And when they try to take on the role of God, it'll never work.
That's right.
We're designed from above. That spirit and soul come from above. God placed us in that body to be born and chose your mother and father and the city you're going to be born in and where you're going to go to school and the whole thing is laid out before. Folks, think about this. You could have been born back there in Egypt making bricks for Pharaoh. God chose you for these last days. Don't forget it. You've got work to do. And there's nothing impossible for you to do if you'll just believe God. You'll make a way where there seems to be no way.
Yes.
And put that smile on your face. Folks, anybody that you need prayer for anything, I'll meet you up front here, no matter what it is. You want to stand in for someone else, that's a good thing to do. God likes that. Stand in the gap for someone. But folks, continue to pray one for another. Well, that's pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
And folks, know that he could come at any time. Dennis, I believe that. I believe that we could go out of here before the sun goes down tonight.
Amen.
I do believe that. And the Bible says that we're to love his appearing. I don't know about you, but I hear people talk about getting ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I may not have done everything I could have or should have, but the readiness come back yonder when I was 39 years old. I may not have done all the works that I should have, But the salvation come then, and the promise of salvation come then. And I had no righteousness anyway. He said, I'll take care of that. I'll give you mine. It's a gift. Same way as salvation. I give you my righteousness and my salvation. And folks, that salvation is going to be wonderful, because one day you will hear the voice of God, or you're going to hear the trump of God, whichever one that is. And you're going out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to meet him in the clouds. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says to comfort you one another with these words. Well, it's a comfort to me to know that we can leave this world and go to be with the Lord in a brand new body fashioned like his glorious body. But I don't know about you, but I looked in the mirror the other morning, and the first thing I thought of was, oops. And I just hope God didn't say that. I don't think he ever has. But God bless you. And keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. You'll live a whole lot better and more peaceful life. God bless you. Brother Dennis.
Amen.
Like I said, if you have a need this morning, if you need prayer this morning,